Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Good morning to you, 909 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. And Sergeant Joe Watson is with me from the St. George Police Department. Joe, how you doing, man?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in, man. I guess your name Joseph, right, officially, or is it just Joe?
Yeah, I usually get called Joseph when I'm in trouble, though.
You're in trouble. Like me, I'm Andrew, but only when I'm in trouble. But it seems like anymore, the common names like Joseph, not so common anymore. It's like parents are like, I'm not doing that anymore. But do you still, you know a lot of Joes?
Yeah.
Oh, do you? There's still a few around. Okay.
It gets a little confusing. There's three Joes in my own family, so when we get around together, it's
Your cousins? And,
Which Joe are you talking to?
Joe. My daughter is named Katie, and she ran into so many Katies in school. In fact, she was on the Pineview volleyball team. There were three Katies on the Pineview volleyball team, so they ended up using their last initials. Like, she was KG, you know, Katie Griffin. So it happens. I know there was a kid that hit two big three-pointers late in the game for Payson High School named Joseph Wolf, Joe Wolf. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's one thing I can't do is play basketball.
No? You're not a hoopster?
No.
Well, you spend a lot of time with our furry friends.
That's right.
So, and we were just talking before we went on the air, but we got to know our lanes, right? We got to know what we're good at and stay in those lanes. And
yeah.
So you and I also have something else in common. We sometimes we state our opinions when they're not necessarily wanted. Every time we have a family gathering in my family, my wife gives me the little talk right before we get to all the people. Now, honey, you can't say this and don't say that. And remember that it's not very nice to talk about this. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I'm often told just because you have an opinion doesn't mean people are asking for it.
It's true. Well, let's talk a canine unit. Now, I had heard you had a new dog, but that is not, you actually have three new dogs on the St. George Police Canine Unit. Correct. Tell us about them.
So we got two brand new green dogs that are new positions.
So these are, when you say green, these are right from the training academy.
Yeah, they had no training whatsoever, fresh out of Europe.
Wow. Okay. And so what's the process with them?
Very lengthy one. Much to the chagrin of a lot of my admin, I'm sure, because it feels like all canines do is train.
Yeah.
But Canine Ranger and Canine Nico are the two brand new green dogs.
Ranger and Nico.
Officer Carter and Officer Palmer.
What are their breeds?
Belgian Malinois and a Dutch Shepherd.
Okay. And what will be their specialties when they get going full time?
So these are
going
to be dual purpose canines, meaning that they're trained in narcotics detection as well as apprehension or biting work, I guess.
Catching a bad guy.
Yeah, catching a bad guy.
Yeah. Now, I remember one time, I think you said this once, and it's hard. I think to me it would be hard to say, but you said, sending an animal in the way of harm is better than a human being in the way of harm, and you would much rather send the dog to go, you know, if a guy's got a gun and he's on the run, whatever, the dog to catch the bad guy than a human. There are a lot of people that would disagree with that. There are people out there saying, I'd rather have my dog than my neighbor.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of wives and spouses with the police officers that wouldn't disagree with that. So and that's the thing, is we train these dogs for that purpose, but again, we take as many precautions as we can. We're not going to knowingly send a dog into a situation where we know that the individual is armed. All right, because it's a less lethal option to use the canine. So if we know a subject is armed with a lethal weapon and has used it or has the potential of using it, that's not a less lethal option. And so other opportunities like our tac teams and stuff like SWAT and stuff would be involved with that. So we take precautions. Obviously, a lot of times we may not know that kind of stuff. But yeah, if we're clearing a building and something, I'd rather a dog go clear a room first before we start sticking our officers inside that area, unknown.
Now, what if a suspect, you know, a guy's pulled over, suspect takes off through a desert field, you know, sagebrush and whatever, running through there. You have no idea whether he's armed or not. Is that a situation where the dog...
A lot of times, yeah. A lot of times we don't know. we can always assume, but in, you know, in this world, assuming can get people killed.
Yeah.
We take those precautions, but yeah, unless we have specific knowledge and information that they are armed, we'll treat them as if they are to a certain degree, but yeah, we'll use the canines in that type of situation.
Okay, so Nico and Ranger, right?
Correct.
The two new dogs. Tell us where they're at in their training and when are they actually on the job yet?
They are training. They're with my two instructors. They got Officer Adams and Deputy Montgomery and Deputy Shumway.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them guys. They're doing a really fantastic bang-up job.
Yeah.
They have been training now since... Well, they did 8 weeks of narcotics detection, and now they're just finishing up. They're on their last 2 weeks of the 8 weeks for the apprehension side of things. So they should be finishing up hopefully by first of next month, and they'll be ready to rock and roll.
Now, you and I talked about this in the past. As far as there are dogs that wash out that just don't make it.
We actually just had one of those.
Oh,
yes.
Did you?
We selected a dog. We get our dogs from Von Lick Kennels. Out in California, we had one, and they like to rub it in my face because
you picked it.
I picked it personally. We all went on. They'll know they were involved in the decision making, but I like to claim that I like shepherds as the superior breed, and it was a German Shepherd, and we did up. Yes, I had to eat my own feet, and we sent the dog back. But we got a fantastic dog now with Rangers. He's a Belgian Malinois. Fantastic dog.
Which, is that the dog that looks like a shepherd but isn't a shepherd?
Yeah,
smaller,
it's like a cousin to the German Shepherds. A little more athletic, agile, a lot less thinking on their part, but easily trainable. Pretty much what a German Shepherd may have looked like 70 years ago before humans got involved with the breeding process of it.
Okay. Pretty cool animal, though.
Huh? Oh, yeah, great. Not a pet. I don't want anybody ever think that. If you don't know what you're getting to when you're getting involved with the Malinois, don't get it, right? They show these movies and stuff, and people are like, hey, that's an amazing dog. Yeah, that's a highly trained dog, and it's a highly driven dog, and they get bored very, very easily. And when they get bored, they will figure out a way to occupy their time, meaning destroying your property.
Oh, man.
So I do not recommend ever getting a Malinois as a pet unless you know what you're getting yourself into.
Maybe if you're single and don't have a lot going on, right?
If you can go run 10 miles a day every day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Yeah,
I'm thinking though, if you're a family, have a couple of kids, and that's not a good pet.
You're not going to have the time to entertain that dog. These dogs go to work 10 hours, 12 hours a day.
Wow!
And so, and they're still ready to go. So it's no little thing to take on these kind of animals. We select them specifically because of the amount of drive that they have, and the ability to do this job. And you know, it's just like people. I'm not playing baseball, earning millions of dollars for specific reasons because I can't. You know, I'm just no...
And a curveball.
Yeah, I'm not a trout, right? I barely played T-ball, so these dogs are the same way. You know, I got my little schnauzer dog thing at home that just likes to lay in a pillow. These dogs are not those dogs.
No, no. Okay.
They like to work.
Now, what about the other dog? Tell me what breed it was again. Nico?
Nico, Dutch Shepherd.
Dutch Shepherd. What? So that's a German, kind of like a German Shepherd?
Kind of... I like to call him a Malinois with a brindle.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of the same mentality, only a lot more stubborn.
Must be a female. No, I didn't say that. I did not say that. Okay. Tell us about this dog, Nico.
Nico, great dog. Running with a great handler. They're doing really, really good. He loves to hunt. He'll be a great tracking dog. That's what they going to go through in the apprehension side of things as a locating tool. Loves to stick his nose to the ground and go find what he's looking for, whether it be narcotics odor or people.
That's amazing. I always felt, you know, it's funny, until COVID hit me, Joe, I almost had a dog. Not as good as a dog, but I could smell. I was really good at smelling things out. And then I got COVID, and now I nothing. I got hardly any smell. But I'm always amazed at these dogs. Now, we had a beagle when I was a kid, and that dog could sniff out anything anywhere. It was incredible how strong. In fact, I think they use beagles, don't they, at airports and stuff?
Sometimes,
their weapons or bombs or drugs or whatever it is. Okay, so how many dogs total do we have now on the canine force?
On St. George PD, we've got six dogs now.
Six of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you know all their names? I guess you do.
Got Carly in the drug task force. We got Emma, who I have a special interest.
I love Emma. Yeah,
that used to be my dog.
I think Emma's been here actually.
She has. Yeah. I ran her for about 4 years now. She's with Officer Ott, running with her. Carly and Emma are both our single purpose narcotics dogs.
Okay.
And then you have Canine Riz with Officer Adams. He's a dual purpose Malinois. And then we have our new addition.
Oh yeah, we haven't gotten to the. And you said this dog, the new one, what's the name?
Rico.
Rico is one that has experience. This isn't like a newly trained dog.
Yes. So the handler worked for another agency, retired with that agency a little early maybe, and we spoke to him, and he's excited to come to work for us, and he's actually training with the other handlers right now, and he'll be a dual-purpose shepherd. So he's going to be a great addition to the team. It gives us four dual purpose dogs on St. George and two single purpose. So it'd be great.
Would we need this many of these types of canines if we didn't have the ribbon of I-15 running through?
Well, that's definitely just a pipeline of criminal activity for sure. Mm-hmm. That's an area of focus that we do. We used to run a lot of single purpose, but with the growth in the area that we've seen and just over the last little bit of what I've experienced and what I've seen coming through the city, the additions of some of these dual-purpose dogs, it's a use-of-force option that law enforcement is glad to have and should be to help us take care of some of these more violent individuals that want to come here and cause some problems. As we know, there's just an amazing growth in this community that I think we're still trying to play catch-up on in a lot of ways.
We're talking with Sergeant Joe Watson of the St. George Police Department. He's in charge of the canine department, I guess it is, within the department. Now, I got into this because I wanted to work with canines.
Yeah, I've always loved the dogs. It's always been a main focus for very personal reasons, obviously. I've always been a big advocate of enforcing drug activity, as I've experienced what it looks like in my personal life. It's not a victimless crime. I'll just put that out there, that a lot of people say that it is.
They're always saying, oh, I'm not hurting anybody.
It's definitely not. I've seen it affect plenty of innocent people that become victims of the symptoms and the issues that come with drug addiction and drug use.
What I was going to ask, so you got into it, but you're now kind of the supervisor. Do you get to work with the dogs much anymore? I mean, they each have their handlers.
Yeah. The handlers are in charge of the care and the training and stuff. I still do a lot of the decoy work, which I absolutely love.
What does that mean, decoy work?
Basically, you become the chew toy for the dog.
Oh, so you put the suit on and everything.
I like to do that a lot.
You like that, huh?
My wife says I'm weird, but I enjoy it. It's fun to...
Hey, Joe, put the suit on. We're going to have the dog attack you.
Yeah, it's a good time. Plus, the decoy is pretty much the one that actually is training the dog. They're reading those cues on if a dog is struggling with something, how to help it work past those struggles and those weaknesses to make it stronger and better so that it's more street-worthy.
I always wondered this about these dogs, these apprehending dogs? I don't know. Anyway... are they trained to jump and bite the arm, or are they trained to bite the leg and tackle them, or what is the dog's first duty when a suspect is fleeing?
Typically, they'll target a lot of the arms or legs. Dogs are opportunistic, so most of the time they'll take what's available to them.
Okay.
For the most part, though, it's the offending appendages and stuff that we'll have the dogs target to help us take them down.
So
take him into custody.
I guess one of my fears always, and I need to tell you right up front, maybe I told you this last time, when I was 8 years old, I got mauled by a German Shepherd. I got mauled. It wasn't like a bear, you know, it didn't start eating me, but it attacked me and I had a few severe bites. But, so I have a little tiny apprehension around dogs that, you know, big dogs, especially.
Respect. Respect.
Yeah, dogs. Exactly. Yeah. But I guess one of the fears I think people have, and I don't think I'm the only one, is, boy, if there's a dog that's been trained to apprehend or attack, are they going to go for my neck? Are they going to go and try to kill me?
It's actually a really good question. Yeah. We do not ever train our dogs for that. We take precautions when we're in trainings to make sure that that doesn't happen. Obviously, you know, it's not a perfect world. At times, things like that may happen depending on where the dog has a ability to gain access to the person, or they're hiding from something, and that's what's available. But obviously, in a situation like that, the officer would get the dog off as soon as possible to mitigate injury in that sense. But like I said, what they're trained to do is go in, find an arm or leg or your hip or waist, just to latch on. And the nice thing is a lot of people, they're not sitting there mauling you and biting you multiple times.
They grab a hold.
They grab a hold, and that's their toy. And if anybody has ever seen a dog with a lot of drive, they don't like to let go of their toy.
No, they do not.
And so they're designed to go, they're trained to go in, and they'll grab on and hold on until other law enforcement can get there and assist them in taking them into custody. So
interesting. Wow, that's fascinating, because I think there is a lot of question and worry about people. Well, what if, you know, the dog's chasing a bad guy and I happen to walk by, is the dog going to be distracted and come after me? I think it's one of the questions.
Good. And we go through trainings. We actually were just doing a training with some of the newer officers in our department, kind of expectations of what to do if a dog's on scene of a situation like that. But these dogs do really good at with their handlers and targeting what they're looking for. And again, you know, we're not just running these dogs on just any criminal that's broken a law. These are violent people,
right,
that they're being sent on, individuals who have used violence or threatened violence or are about to use violence. Those are the individuals that will meet the justification in the use of a canine to apprehend them. So people that are a clear danger to the public.
Now, video games, you see a dog or a wolf go into a frenzy where they almost feel like they're out of control. I guess part of the training is that, you know, to make sure that doesn't happen, right? Is
it? Yeah. So we expose our dogs to a variety of different environments to make sure that a stable dog is a trained dog, is what I like to say. And that's what a lot of the training is obedience, to make sure that they are listening to their handler, that they're used to different distractions like gunfire, right? They're not going to be afraid of things like gunfire or loud noises. Yeah. And they're just waiting for the command to do what they're trained to do. So,
all right. We're talking with Sergeant Joe Watson, St. George Police Department. If you want to call, by the way, 673-5890. If you want to text me, 467-5842, and ask questions about the canine department. Is six dogs, I guess, as in charge of the department, you're like, well, we could use 9 or 12 or 15, but yeah. Is six enough for St. George right now?
No.
No.
Okay. In my humble opinion, my goal is I would like to see us get more. If you notice, we've got narcotics detection, and we also have apprehension dogs. We have a lot of large events in this area. I would like to see us get some explosive detection dogs. We have an airport that's unprotected, right? We don't have any way to screen things like that coming
good
in.
St.
George is fastly becoming a destination city. I think with these larger events like Ironman, which is coming up, our yearly St. George Marathon, which is a qualifier, it brings a large group of people, which, as we've seen through the nation, just even on New Year's Day, right, large events in cities, and it could be a target for extremists or something like that. And I want to make sure that our citizens are protected. I would like to see us get some explosive detector dogs in this region and continue to expand. There's a variety of things that dogs can do that would help us. They have the porn dogs, as they call them. It's electronic sniffing dogs, so it's trained to go find electronic devices that individuals may hide and conceal child pornography on. So when they serve, these teams go in and serve search warrants on a home, they can use that dog to help them locate these hidden electronic devices like hard drives and things like that that they typically store them on. And that's another option I would like to see us expand and get more of.
That's pretty amazing. That's a pretty amazing skill.
Yeah, dogs are, they're amazing. That's why we still use them.
So right now we don't have explosive detection dogs.
Not in law enforcement. Not in law enforcement. They're the nearest law enforcement explosive detector dog is up in Iron County right now, and he just barely got done with his training, so it's brand new.
Is there, you mentioned, we obviously we have big events. I mean, Parade of Homes was a big event. We have the marathon and things like that. Is it going to take an incident for?
Oh, I hope not. I really hope not. And I have faith in our administrations and stuff here that they've. And I've been in communication. They understand and recognize that this is the area we need to go. Obviously, there's, you know, you always have staffing individuals, and we're still trying to grow. And other areas as well that we've got to focus on. And I understand that, right? And where we have come from in my career in law enforcement to where we are currently right now with the Canine World, we have seen tremendous growth. And I'm excited what I'm seeing in the direction that we're going. And I think it's for the betterment of the community and for everybody's help. So,
all right. Cool. We'll get a commercial break in. We'll check weather and be back with Sergeant Watson and talk about the canines and what they can and can't do. We haven't really talked about what they can do. We'll talk about that a little bit, too. And also his special relationship with one of the particular dogs that happened to be his companion for quite some time. We'll talk about that more when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 9:33 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Sergeant Joe Watson is here from the St. George's Police Department Canine Unit. Joe, you doing all right, man?
I'm doing great.
That's good. Nice. Good. Glad you're here. Dogs. They occupy a spot in the hearts of America. I think the last thing I read was 60%+ families own a dog. There are a few, like my family, we actually had a basset hound in our backyard for a while, but talk about the wimpiest, most nervous dog in the whole world. Anyway, but we couldn't have an indoor dog because of my wife's asthma, and that's fine. I miss them. You know, it would be fun to have a dog, but they're also a lot of work. I think a lot of people, depending on the breed, of course, but I think a lot of people get a dog not realizing that you can't just buy a dog and then it'll sit there all day on your lap and do nothing.
Yeah, most of them won't.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe in a lot of cases it's not a bad dog, it's a bad owner. Train your dogs.
Good point. Now, I had a series of stories I wrote on 890kdxu.com about dogs attacking people, dogs actually killing people. And in one case, a son moved back in with his mom. He had three pit bulls. They lived in the backyard. He went to work one day. She went out in the backyard to feed him, and they killed her. They killed her. And it's a sad story. And again, you can find it. I don't know if you want to read that story. It's not very nice, but 890kdxu.com. But, talk about the relationship then. Not a bad dog, but a bad owner. Are there people out there right now that train their dogs to hurt other people?
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are.
Why would they do? I mean, I know it's a stupid question, but why would you do that? I guess just, I don't know. Bad people.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and that's the thing. When we train our police canines, essentially you could say, yeah, you're training that dog to hurt somebody. But that's not what we're doing. We're training our dogs to go apprehend somebody and catch a violent person that's already causing harm. And even for the dog, right, it's he doesn't do that out of aggression. These right. dogs, it's play to them, right? They're essentially playing with their chew toy.
Hmm. Which happens to be a person,
right? Yeah. And you'll watch him when, if anybody's ever seen any of our demos or seen a police dog do his thing, their tail's wagging, they're happy, and, you know, it's fun to them, and it's not out of aggression.
So they're not angry.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. As the guy who gets taken down by the dog a lot, you're the guy that puts the suit on and everything. Do you feel that with the dogs? I know this dog isn't trying to hurt me.
No, because when I'm done decoying, I can walk right up next to the dog, and he'll just look at me and it's like, when do I get to play again?
Yeah.
That's all he wants to do.
They love it. Huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. What are some of the things? You mentioned a couple of them are dual purpose, which means apprehension and also drug-sniffing dogs. Mm-hmm. But there are some dogs that are not dual purpose. They're just drug-sniffing dogs, or they're just apprehension dogs. Talk about their limitations a little bit, if you will, and what a dog can't do.
As far as just in general, well,
first of all, is as far as the duties that we were just talking about, then also in general,
I think more than what the dog can't do, because these dogs are pretty capable of doing what you're training them to do.
Okay.
I think it comes down to is what can we legally do with the dogs? Mm-hmm. What's our authority as far as that goes? You know, dogs aren't magic creatures by any sense. We have, in the area, with the search and rescue team, right? They've got a dog that is a cadaver dog that sniffs for essentially decaying human tissue. It's also a tracking dog, so it's trained to search. Essentially, all it's looking for is human odor, whether it's a live human odor or decaying human odor. That's what the dog's looking for. You know, and there may be limitations on, you know, I've seen these things that people post. It's like, hey, if you're ever going to murder anybody, put a dead animal, you know, a couple feet above where you bury the body, and then they'll just think that it's a dead animal, right? But the dog's not looking for dead animal tissue. It's looking for human odor. And so.
Different smell.
Correct. And I think a lot of people underestimate what these dogs are actually capable of, right? Like there's a reason we use them still to this day with all of our modern day technology and how that's developed over the last several years. But nothing compares to a dog's nose because they're just so powerful and good that even our highest courts in the land, U.S. Supreme Court, recognize them as like these are dependable tools that we have to trust. When they indicate on something or they show that they're detecting that odor, they're true. They're correct. And whether it be looking for electronic devices or drugs or people, they're true. And a lot of times, in a lot of situations, right, like every handler will say, my dog indicated on the car, but nothing was found in the car. But that doesn't mean odor doesn't exist still in your car, right? Because if I always tell people, they'll make fun of me when they hear this, but the popcorn theory. If you pop popcorn in your house and you eat all the popcorn, there's nothing left. But what does your house smell like?
It smells like popcorn.
It smells like popcorn. And you magnify that by 100,000 times, and that's what a dog's nose is capable of. And that residual odor will stick around.
Wow.
They've done studies where they can in a sterile environment, put out a large quantity of drugs, let it sit for 24 hours, and then bring a different dog in every time to see if they can locate that surface. And after 30 days, they just gave up because the dogs just kept finding it.
Hmm.
You know, obviously that's a sterile environment that's not being cleaned and manipulated, but we know that odor in large quantities will stick around for at least 30 days that these dogs can smell. And so just can't underestimate, right, these dogs' capabilities. They're just amazing at what they're capable of. So
how much, and you mentioned they train a lot, how much work is it to get a dog to that point? Say I have a dog and my dog is especially good at, you know, at detecting odors. Most dogs are, but say I have a bloodhound or a beagle or something like that has a really good nose. And I wanted that dog to be able to detect a certain odor, whatever it is. How hard would it be for the everyday person to train it versus these official police dogs?
I wouldn't say it's difficult by any means, depending on how well you want the dog to do. It's just repetitious, right? Our dogs, for their detection work, it's an 8-week initial training that they go through. And then our handlers every week have to maintain a minimum of four hours every week to train their dogs per discipline that they do. So if it's a single purpose dog, you're training at a minimum 4 hours every week, right? If you're a dual purpose dog, you're training at a minimum 8 hours every week that you're doing. But every handler will tell you that's just the minimums. If I want my dog dialed in like I want it to, and all these handlers do, you're training every day with these dogs, and that's how you're going to do it, right? And that's what I tell owners. It's 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 12 minutes here, right? Every single day, every opportunity you have with that dog is a training opportunity, and you should take advantage of that. If you want your dog dialed in and trained, the repetition just comes from your essentially, because to dogs, odor doesn't matter until you tell them and show them that it matters, right?
Yeah, because they get odors all day, every day, kinds of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. A lot. And that's what their brains are genetically designed around, is how to process odor. And so you just teach them, cheeseburgers don't matter. Drugs matter. And if you smell drugs, then you're going to get your toy. You don't get your toy unless you smell drugs. So you just got to teach them what odors are important to them, because they're simplistic animals, very simple-minded. I tease a lot and say they're dumb creatures. I wouldn't say they're necessarily dumb. They're just simple-minded, right? They don't reason. They don't make judgments. They don't assume. They just say, that's good. That's bad. This brought me my toy. This didn't bring me my toy. So I'm going to do this so I can get my toy. Plain and simple.
Makes sense. And not to compare a dog with a toddler, but it's the same kind of thing with a little kid, right? I get spanked if I do this or put in time out. I get a cookie if I do this. And they
want
the cookie.
In fact, I would argue toddlers listen more than dogs most of the time.
Now, you had, for a while, you were with Emma, right? That was your dog?
Yeah, I ran her. She was my second dog. I ran her for about 4 years.
Wow. Every day, all day, every day, right?
Yep.
I mean, even when you're off duty, yep. Emma was with you. Was it hard to let Emma go?
Oh, definitely. She's a great dog. She's with a great handler right now who does it. And I think, because he's ran her now for 4 years, I'm pretty sure she's forgotten all about me. I probably miss her more than she'll ever miss me, unfortunately. But, it's very difficult to walk away from something like that. And I knew at the time that I probably would never get the chance to run a dog again. But I had goals and stuff that I'm trying to accomplish, which with the induction of these dogs this year, I feel it was worth it to expand the program like it has. So
nice.
Very excited.
Very healthy canine program, St. George Police Department. Maybe not big enough yet.
Not big enough yet.
But someday we'll get there. I don't know if we'll ever really get where you want to be, but we'll hopefully get closer and closer. I was telling you off the air, I had a buddy of mine. He got a girlfriend who had a little mutt dog that used to bite my ankles and shins. drove me nuts. Without the heavy training, is there a way to train, you know, just your everyday dog? Is there a good way, an easy way to train just your everyday dog to be better behaved? You mentioned they're simplistic creatures. Yeah. Is it simply about rewards and punishment, or just the reward, positive reinforcement?
Yeah, so, I mean, just a condensed version of dog training is you give them something that they really, really love when they do something good, and you're going to mark it immediately, right? You can't. Mm-hmm. You can't say, hey, that was good what you did 5 minutes ago, because that dog doesn't remember what it did 5 minutes ago. It thinks right. What it's doing now is what you're rewarding it for, right? So when as soon as you see good behavior, you mark it and you tell the dog you did good. Same thing. If it's doing bad behavior, you're going to mark that behavior as in a disciplinary form of correction. And so it knows dad got angry and I got, you know, popped on my collar, or I got vibrated on my e-collar, whatever the case that you're going to do, right? Or it's just something as simple as, you know, a lot of puppies like to put their mouths on you and stuff. When they do that, you just don't give them attention, right? And they're like, well, I'm doing this and I'm not getting attention, but I sit calmly and then I get attention. Hmm. Well, I'm going to sit here calmly, right? And obviously it's not going to happen overnight. It's just you got to not reward the bad behavior and reward the good behavior instantly when you see that happening. And then just make sure that you're fair to your dog all the time. If it, you know, I see a lot of people try to jump on and they'll just repeat themselves, sit, and the dog's like, I don't know what that word
means.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
So you can just keep repeating it, right? So you got to give the dog time to, hey, sit, and kind of show it what you want it
to do,
and then reward it, and then they'll start to understand. They don't know what sit means, but they'll recognize the word, like, oh, this is what you want me to do. Okay, I'll sit because you're going to give me a little treat when I do that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Simple. And then you just do that repetitiously over and over and over again.
So we unknowingly sometimes train our dogs badly because we don't give the reward when they do something we like right away, and the dog might sit or roll over, whatever you want them to do, but then you don't get the reward until a minute later when they're chewing on your slipper. Uh-huh. And then they think, oh, chewing on the slipper, good, yeah. Right?
The biggest unconscious thing that every single dog owner does that rewards bad behavior, right? When I come home and my dog's excited.
Jumping all over.
And you're like, oh, that's good. I miss you so much. And you're giving the dog attention for acting and behaving bad. Mm. He's being disrespectful. He's being impolite. And so now he thinks, well, I get rewarded all the time every time mom and dad comes home and they're loving on me. And then so anybody else that comes into my house, guess what the dog's going to do? He's going to jump all over them and get up in their face. And because they've been rewarded, and we all want to go love our dogs because we haven't seen them all day, but you're rewarding bad behavior unconsciously.
So, unconsciously, yeah.
That's why something as simple as I'm not going to give you attention when you act like that is correction enough to the dog to learn, well, I'm not getting attention, so I don't want to do that anymore. I'll sit here calmly while mom and dad scratch my head.
Now, I have a question for you. This is about dog behavior. So it seems like to me that wherever we go, so my wife, I mentioned, allergic to pets, and she tries to avoid them. She doesn't, she loves animals, but she can't, you know.
Yeah.
It seems like everywhere we go, whether it's a dog or a cat, they are attracted to her. And I just, is there some kind of, is it my imagination? Does it really happen? Because I would love to pet the dog and hold the dog and everything, but they always go to her. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the one willing. She doesn't want anything to do with you.
I think all animals have a sense of the person who least likes them in the room is the person they're going to go to.
I think it's true. I really do.
The fun thing that they do. For the longest time, my wife, she was never really a dog lover and kind of didn't understand why me and the kids were into it. And until her recent dog, now she's like the biggest dog lover, but the dogs and the cats would always go straight to her. And she's like, why are you, I don't want you, go away.
Yeah,
and would always go straight to her.
Yeah.
I just think it's just a game that they play. I don't know. That seems to be always the case though.
I firmly believe that is the case though. I firmly believe it's true because I see it. I know it's only anecdotal evidence, but it seems pretty true.
I don't believe in coincidences, so.
We'll take a break. More with Sergeant Watson after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 9:51 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Sergeant Joe Watson is here in charge of the K-9 unit, St. George Police Department. Thanks for coming again, Joe. Appreciate
you,
man.
Here. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the day-to-day for a K-9 and its handler at the St. George Police Department. So are they out on patrol?
Yeah. So right now, majority of our dogs are in training because they are brand new.
Right, once
they get done with that, daily life is getting yourself ready, getting your dog ready, and then they just help out the task force detective and his Ken and Carly. They, you know, nobody really knows what task force is. They're super secret guys. So
okay.
He takes the dog with him. But yeah, the patrol officers, you know, they go out and they'll assist patrol in whatever is needed. The narcotics dog, like Emma and Officer Ott, you know, they'll go around and help with traffic stops, warrant services if needed. Storage berg sniffs, things like that, open air sniffs, whatever they can utilize that dog for in locating narcotics. And then the patrol side of things, like I said, these dogs, they'll do the same thing essentially with the narcotics, but then if it's a use of force thing or a violent situation, they can introduce that use of force with the dog. You know, and it's, I like to tell people all the time, like it's fun and games until it's not, right? Being a dog handler is very interesting, in the fact that it's unlike any other position in your work comes home with you. You know, a lot of times everywhere else you get to just leave it there and your work comes with you. And the amount of stress that comes on these handlers, I mean, you're essentially given a $10,000 piece of equipment that has a mind of its own and chooses on any given day when not to listen to your instruction, right?
Like a teenager. Yeah.
Yeah. And things just happen spontaneous. Like, you know, what happens if you break a laptop computer, right? You just explain it to you and they can get you a new computer.
Yeah.
What happens if a dog breaks his teeth? Like our toothless wonder, Kenan Roscoe with another agency and his handler, Officer Hall, right? Those are stresses that is put on that handler. Did I do something wrong to contribute to that? Hmm. What's this going to do and mean for my canine's career? You know, how does this read out to our administration? You know, there's just a lot of unknowns that come throughout a canine career that only handlers truly understand and experience. It's my famous speech I give every handler. There's going to come a day where you're going to think to yourself, for whatever reason, where it comes sooner or later, you're going to tell yourself, man, did I make a horrible mistake by taking on this assignment? But then they reward you and you come to work and they do amazing things and they generate cases and they save lives. Because they're simply there because of the training that you did with the dog and it makes everything worth it. So
how long is the dog's career and how do you know when it's time for the dog to hang it up?
Typically on average a canine's career is between 7 to 10 years, I would like to say.
That's pretty long.
Yeah. It's you get your money's worth. It just, a lot of it depends on the quality of health the dog has, kind of what they do. You know, for some of these apprehension dogs, obviously because they're wrestling with people, it's going to put more added stress on the length of their career. And a lot of it's just depending upon the handler recognizing the signs that, hey, maybe this is becoming too much for my dog. Because we want to think about their quality of life after their career. But you don't want to retire them too early because that can cause other problems as well.
Like?
a dog being bored, right? If it's not going to work anymore, but it still has that drive and energy, it's going to become bored, and it'll destroy things because of pure boredom. That's why dogs dig and chew and rip things up, is because they don't have anything else to do with their time, and so that's how they express their frustration.
And that's kind of your job, right? You're the one that has to kind of evaluate them and decide when it's time.
Yeah, I rely a lot on my handlers on what they're seeing, because they're with their dogs day to day. I know, unfortunately, Canon Emma is getting up there in years. Well,
4 years with you and 4 years with the current one, right?
And she was almost two years old when I got her. So she's pushing 10 this April. I think she'll be 10 years old. So we know that she's coming to the end of her career at some point soon. But she still is strong-willed and wants to be out there. So we just keep an eye on her and recognize if those signs become too much for her, then we want to think about her quality of life, that we can retire and let her enjoy some of her years that she has left. So,
all right, talk about now retiring dogs. What is the life of a police dog after it's not a police dog anymore like?
Depends on the dog. You know, our canine Enzo, who we retired just a little bit ago, the handler elected to adopt him out to a nice couple out in Iron County, I believe. And he's living his life on a farm, living the best life of his life, just running around, open range. It's kind of hilarious. The handler's kind of just so confused because for the longest time, he was more of a dog, aggressive dog, so he wanted to challenge other dogs all the time. And now he's living on a farm with these little Shih Tzu dogs, and he's just like the best friends to all of them, and just the most mellow, chill. But I think we retired him at the right age where he knew it was, you know, they can feel the jumping in and out of the cars and doing all that work, and now they get to just kind of relax and be the pets, right? They just get to chill, and he's got a lot of open area that he can run around in. So just different things you got to take into consideration, because again, he is still trained for years to do apprehension work, right? So we got to take that into acknowledgement on who takes them. And typically the handlers will take their canines. I know Deputy Shumway and his canine Nero retired last year, and he's living with him still and his family, and is becoming fat and happy and enjoying the good years, right? Which we all hope
like
for.
All of us. Yeah, someday. How old was Enzo when Enzo you retired him?
I think he was 8 or 9, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, and life on a farm, right? It's, for a dog is heaven. That is heaven.
Yeah.
You know, the instinct of a dog to protect its owner is an instinct, right? That's built into them a little bit. The dog wants to protect it. Whether it's...
Yeah, I think sometimes people, I mean, they are a pack mentality, right? So you have your alpha, and then you have everybody's included in the pack and stuff. And obviously they're going to be typically protective of who they feel is in their pack with individuals. That's why a lot of times a dog will become defensive when somebody they don't know comes into their territory, because they are naturally protective. And then it's one of the nice things is our canines are trained for handler protection. So they're trained specifically, even if they're not given a command, but they see somebody becoming violent with their handler, they are trained to engage and assist their handler in putting a stop to it.
Nice. Well, I first of all, just speaking personally, I'm glad we have a canine unit here, and I'm so proud and impressed at what you guys are able to do. I don't think people realize the amount of training that goes into what these dogs go through. A lot of training. Like you said, the bosses probably think all you do is train, right?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, but it's good to have them as part of the St. George Police Department. It's very cool.
Yeah, they're a great addition. I think they're great PR things. We love taking them out in the public and showing what their capabilities are. They're great resources to the officers to help with narcotics investigations. They're a great resource in saving officers' lives and protecting the public. And it's an amazing use of force option. I always like to put this out there. It's the only use of force option that you can recall once you've deployed, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody decides, if I send a dog out to apprehend you and you decide to become compliant, I can actually recall the dog and stop that use of force. It's also the only use of force majority of the time, just a sheer mention or the show of the dog being there and the dog barking. I've seen individuals calmly give up.
Right? I would.
They would naturally say, "Oh, I'm going to fight you. I think I can take you on." And the dog shows up and wants to bite. And they're like, "Nope, I give up.
I'm out."
And peacefully resolved.
So Sergeant Joe Watson, K-9 Unit, St. George Police Department. Thank you, Joe, for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. And let's see, Zach Renstrom on tomorrow. We're going to talk water, and we need to talk water. We'll talk to you then.